Well, I have 8 o'clock Eastern showing on my clock. So welcome, folks. It looks like it's about that time, and we're going to get started. I'm Patty Love, and I'm here with my friend and business partner, Meadow Carlton. We're both really honored and excited to be here with you tonight. If you unmuted yourself when you call in, we ask that you now mute your phone by pressing the *6 keys, and that way background noise will be minimized during our presentation. And then we ask that you please keep your phone muted until we ask you to unmute them for the question and answer portion of the call. So I want to say first off, thank you so much for taking this time to come and be here with us for our introduction to Empathetic Presence teleconference call. Empathetic Presence, in a nutshell, is a self-inquiry practice we have created, which is heavily based in a practice called Inner Empathy, which both Meadow and I studied together during a 9-month intensive training with its creator, Jerry Donahue. Meadow and I found that we both really fell in love with the practice of Inner Empathy, and in the process of sharing it with others, found that other tools and methods we had also studied and practiced in the past were intuitively brought into this new practice. And so out of the synthesis of these two practices of, empathetic presence was born. Let's take a moment to review what we promised to deliver when we invited you to this call. First, you'll be hearing more about us, who we are, where we've come from, and some personal experiences of healing we've had practicing empathetic presence. You will learn the basics of using this tool. You will discover how you can begin your own empathetic presence practice. You'll also hear a live, unrehearsed empathetic presence mini session. You'll have an opportunity to have any questions you might have answered, and to learn about a special offer near the end of this call. Before I turn you over to Meadow, I want to remind you that we are recording this call for use in introducing others to empathetic presence. Please feel free to only use your first name or even a pseudonym during the Q&A portion if you are desiring anonymity. So let's get started. Meadow?
Hi, everyone. Thank you again for being here tonight. My name is Meadow Carlton, and I'm super excited to be sharing empathetic presence with you. I'm an empathetic presence coach, and I strive to help people connect with their inner experience in ways that support wholeness and clarity. Also, among other things, I'm a mother of 3 sons I love very much. I'm a private music teacher and an active, intentional communitarian where I contribute toward a large-scale environmental sustainability project. I say my special gifts in life now include finding the gifts in loss and change. For the last 4 years, I feel like I've been taking a crash course on how to experience loss and grief. My 19-year marriage ended. I no longer lived in the same house as my children, though still continued to co-parent our boys while living in the same tiny community with my ex-husband. My friends and parents die, and I became very ill with both acute and chronic disease, and experienced rather extreme financial distress. I'd just be over the first huge hump of grief over a loss, and then the next one hit. Really, at times, I just thought I was cursed. And though it has certainly not been fun, I have become really grateful for my experiences. It's made me have to look very deeply at myself, and it's led me through opportunities to experience pain, grief, self-awareness, forgiveness, and acceptance of what is. And it's also given me a lot of compassion and insight into other people's lives who have experienced losses, such as divorce, disease, and pain. I'm also grateful for learning the variety of psycho-spiritual tools over the years that have brought me to this point in my life. In college, I took 7 core psychology courses, which were a really nice underpinning for further exploration. And since then, some of my favorite tools which I've explored are mindfulness-based meditation, coherence therapy, nonviolent communication, inner empathy, tapping, and most recently, dynamic neural retraining. I'm grateful also that I seem to have an innate quality of attracting people to me as being a safe, understanding, compassionate person. Really, as far back as childhood, friends, acquaintances, and surprisingly often complete strangers would seek me out for emotional support. So, after my children got older and less demanding of my time and energy, in 2010, I decided to take my natural gifts for empathy and supporting people into a more formal arena. And I fell in love with inner empathy, completed a 9-month professional track training with Patty. And since then, we have woven all of these practices into a healing modality we are calling empathetic presence, which meets people exactly where they are while helping to allow more wholeness. I'm very fortunate in that I have been blessed with many, many gifts to share, but something that has been most difficult for me since, even before I was a teenager, has been a sense of overwhelm, emotionally speaking. I used to be plagued with anxiety and depression during different times in my life. I've often felt hopeless and helpless. And I've spent a lot of my time, since the time I was a teenager, engaging in self-growth work in order to keep those gnawing wolves of depression and anxiety at bay. So many things along my path readied me for my experiences with empathetic presence. That said, I find that by far the most useful tool I have used and practiced that has added to my sense of wellness, wholeness, strength, and balance has been that of empathetic presence. And my hope is that I can share this practice with as many people as I possibly can. I'm turning 50 this year, and with the coming of that arbitrarily significant number, I'm feeling more and more the limits of time. And what that's doing for me is helping me to distill down to the essence of what I most hope to leave as a gift to others. I truly want empathetic presence to be a tool in everyone's self-care toolbox. It has had such a profound impact on my life, and I really believe it to be a tool which could help in changing the course of a lot of pain and suffering in the world. If we are able to cultivate compassion for even the darkest, most exiled parts of ourselves, then we will be able to extend that compassion outwards. And the less hostile I am to my own mistakes, the less hostile I will be toward others. And in this often hostile world we live in, I see that as a very, very hopeful thought. The way we treat ourselves really is the way we end up treating others. I'm really grateful to have the practice of empathetic presence and my own unique experiences in life that can help me to have compassion and insights into my clients' lives. I hold my clients as brilliant beings, and I believe my job is to hold them in the compassion and trust that allows them to uncover their own inner knowing.
Thanks, Meadow. So much of what you just said really resonates with me. I'm also turning 50 this year, as you know. Can you share a little bit about our session from a few days ago?
Sure, I'd love to. So for the 2 days prior to Sunday night, when Patty and I had an InterAPT call support session scheduled, I'd been calling Patty in fits of panic while trying to write the script for this teleconference. And I was saying things like, I just can't write. I'm just not a good writer. I can't write. I can't do this. I'm just not a writer. Which really surprised Patty, who expressed that she'd always seen me as a writer. So in the process of the session, this part emerged, which just kept on saying over and over again, I'm a fraud. I'm such a fraud. I'm nothing but a fraud. I am a complete fraud. And so in welcoming that pardon, it shared a memory of long ago in high school when my mother wrote the first term paper that was ever assigned to me. I'd been putting off writing the paper, and I remember being involved in a lot of extracurricular activities, so I was really busy. And my mother, probably really worried that I wasn't working on the paper, of her own choice and independent of me, came up with the topic, the subject, did all the research, and wrote the entire paper. I was horrified, and I was ashamed at the time. And yet, I really feared crossing my mother, a self-described perfectionist, because her pattern was to completely shut me out for days and sometimes weeks at a time whenever I expressed anger or even displeasure at something she'd done. She'd never, ever before, or after for that matter, done any of my schoolwork. And this part remembered her saying, well, after she completed the paper, she said, well, at least now you know how to write a term paper, because she had been showing me her progress every day. So more parts emerged in the session. Some explained that I had been a straight-A student and that schoolwork generally came easily to me, but the one area I'd always struggled in was writing. There was just something about that executive mind function of collecting ideas and then coalescing them into words on paper that was really, really challenging for me and something that did not come easily. So another part eventually emerged with a realization of wanting the acceptance of me and all of my imperfection from my mother, and I was not at all comfortable in engaging in writing, the one place I struggled in school, because it was a reminder of how uncomfortable my mother was with any sort of imperfection in me. It believed that to accept that I don't write well means that I would never be accepted by my mother, and so huge anxiety would come to keep me from writing. It would just completely shut me down, and it kept me from being imperfect. So rather than being uncomfortable and possibly failing, thus not getting her love, this part believed it was really better not to try. And it kept me from having to face the pain of possibly not receiving acceptance from a perfectionistic parent. If I went ahead and wrote and experienced the difficulty of it and the ways in which it wasn't perfect, then I would be opening myself to more rejection. Well, after all of this came to light, another part emerged and had a feeling of ease, imagining just writing and accepting my work as good enough, and that I could write, and I could just ask for help. And this part realized, I don't have to be perfect to go ahead and make an effort. And it realized that gaining the acceptance I want from my mother isn't guaranteed, whether I write or not, and regardless of how well I write. I felt a real shift. And as you know, Patty, since then, I've been really open to writing. If I feel any anxiety arising, I actively remember that session, and the anxiety just dissolves. Instead, I feel relief and a brand new sense of ease was something I've struggled with most of my life. It's been a big shift that I'm still getting used to, and just really thank you, Patty, for guiding me in that session.
You are welcome, Meadow. It was really an honor to hold that space with you during our session and to share in what unfolded at that time. Plus, it saved me a bunch of time taking phone calls because your panic part isn't triggered or hasn't needed support in that way.
I bet it did.
To tell you a little bit about myself, again, I just want to thank you so much for being willing to use some of your time to join us tonight. I would like to offer you reassurance that I have a sincere commitment to honor your time and a desire to make a valuable contribution toward your well-being. Among other things, I am the single mother of a 14-year-old man-child. I'm also a suburban homesteader, an environmental educator, and a passionate, loving steward of Mother Earth. My mission in this lifetime is to help heal the Earth and her people. And this practice of empathetic presence is one of the ways that I contribute to the healing of other people. To help you know a little bit more about me, I'll share some of my history. I've been on a journey of inner healing since I became independent of my family at 18. Much of that has been a slow unfolding that still continues. I have periodically sought traditional counseling with a handful of therapists over the course of my life. I've also read dozens of self-help books and attended many workshops to help me learn more skillful ways of handling relationships and to improve my well-being. Some of the most powerful experiences I've had in terms of healing my inner world come from practicing mindfulness-based stress reduction and nonviolent communication. Also reading and practicing Byron Katie's The Work, and then learning a process called inner empathy, which Meadow has already told you about. All of those lessons and many others are now woven together in this practice of empathetic presence that I have been cultivating for almost 4 years now. I have used this work to support myself in recovering from the confusion of being sexually abused as a child, recovering from the grief of broken love relationships, and to help me make sure I attend to my own needs as I enter new relationships. Practicing empathetic presence has also helped me give myself better care on a daily basis, giving myself enough sleep most days, remembering to take play breaks, and finding happy ways to cope with the hectic days of parenting a homeschooled teen. In a sentence, I would say that this practice has helped me become a more compassionate person who more easily and frequently gives unconditional love and acceptance to myself and to others. Some examples of feedback I get from friends and strangers alike is that I have an authentic and warm smile, that I give great hugs, that I'm a good listener, that I seem non-anxious, and maybe my favorite is that they feel accepted and at ease with me. Like I said, this work has been so deeply healing for me. Unlike the other modalities I've used, I'm not asking myself to ignore or deny unpleasant feelings. I can be present with all of my feelings and explore what is underneath them, the judgments, the beliefs, all of those things, to understand what is really happening. I'm going to give you a personal example of the power of this work for me. So I'm going to tell you about an experience that lasted for about 5 minutes, and during that 5 minutes of time healed 26 years of emotional pain. So early last winter, my fiancé broke our engagement. It was a surprise to me, and I felt confused. Eventually, those feelings evolved into anger. I was angry that he had made this decision without talking to me about it first or giving us a chance to fix the things that weren't working for him. Over the course of my life, I've learned that anger is the door into deeper feelings, one of which also often involves projection. In other words, blaming someone else for something I've done myself and don't feel good about. So one morning, I'd had yet another dream in a series of dreams about these unhappy circumstances of my engagement ending. And one morning, I had the presence of mind to remember about the connection between anger and projection. So while I was still lying cozy in my bed and only sort of awake, I decided to use Byron Katie's The Work to look deeper at the anger I was feeling toward my former fiancé. And that process led me to remember the time 26 years ago when I made the decision to leave my college love, much in the same way I had experienced with my fiancé, without talking with my partner in college to try to figure out how we could make some adjustments to our lives and relationships and stay together. I abruptly told him I was leaving. And when I remembered that, I could feel this pain, like, oh, I can feel it in my chest now. Ouch. That was a huge discovery. From there, I went on to use my empathetic presence skills to inquire about why I might have handled that life-changing decision 26 years ago in such a secretive way. I got really curious about that. And during the inquiry, my sexually abused child part showed up. She had been trying to keep us, me, self, safe since being about 6 or 7 years old, when the adults who were supposed to be protecting her weren't. And I just want to mention that the adults likely didn't know about the sexual abuse, and I was too young, and I didn't know how to tell them. But this part strategy, this abused child part, developed a strategy for creating safety by making secret plans. Bingo! I now understood that the source of that decision to leave my college partner in secret was this abused child part. At the time, though, that part was acting unconsciously. It realized that I didn't feel safe to talk with my partner about what was going on for me at that time, being uncomfortable and unhappy in the relationship. And furthermore, that child part was worried that if I did actually talk with him, that he would interfere with this really challenging decision I had made to keep myself safe by leaving. And I just want to say I wasn't under any physical danger. This was all emotional safety. So on this morning, while I was still lying in my bed, I was able to have forgiveness for this abused child part and her clumsy strategy, maybe, to create safety. The forgiveness was really immediate. And I felt an inner parent part immediately come in and understand and give her a really, really big hug. And in that state of compassion for myself, my realization flowed into feeling compassion for my former fiancé. this person who had broken our engagement a few months before. He really must have been scared in some way to make the big decision that he made to end our engagement in secret and to just then tell me about it. So in a flash, the self-judgments that I had carried for 26 years that created feelings of guilt and shame just dissipated. They just went away. Inside, I felt a shift, a new sense of wholeness, and a sense of healing, acceptance, and relief. For me, by itself, that is plenty, but there's more. I have been able to forgive my former fiancé, and that frees me to move forward with emotional ease. And also, I have maintained periodic contact with my former college love. So I called him to tell him about this experience and my new understanding. And his words were, quote, "I've been waiting 26 years to hear you say that," end quote. So this allowed a new level of forgiveness and understanding between us, a really effortless healing. It's been a powerful and life-changing experience for me, and it has smoothed the path for our continued friendship going forward.
Thank you, Patty. Really appreciate you sharing that with us. So let's continue on. Let's look at what exactly empathetic presence is and what it is not. An empathetic presence inquiry session is not a therapy session. Empathetic presence is a coaching method of inquiry where you learn to hold compassionate presence for whatever emerges in your experience. In an empathetic presence session, there is no need to disguise, diagnose, analyze, or label you according to some theoretical ideal of what is and what is not psychologically healthy, or to use diagnostic labels. You'll feel a sense of comfort and ease from the non-judgmental care and acceptance of whatever emerges. So empathetic presence is non-pathologizing because it's not based upon the premise that something's wrong with you that needs to be fixed. Empathetic presence is based on the premise that compassionate awareness is available to you now to hold presence and connect with all aspects of yourself on a feeling need-based level. Holding such compassionate awareness for the various conscious and unconscious aspects of your inner world can inspire natural self-corrective shifts. Your well-being will be self-defined according to the choices you make based upon your unique set of needs and values.
Have you ever tried to do something that you really wanted to do, but at the same time, something else deep and strong within you held you back and you didn't know what it was? For example, suppose you said you were experiencing conflict around wanting to follow your passion at this stage of life, or make changes such as getting more rest, more exercise, and or eating healthier. You want to do these things, but there's something holding you back. An empathetic presence inquiry would help you to connect to the need that is being met by not doing your passion, not getting more rest, not getting more exercise, or not eating healthier. Sometimes this inquiry into what is holding you back is easy, and sometimes this unacknowledged need is deeply embedded beneath protective layers. Accessing it requires patience, diligence, and a skillfully held empathetic presence. Bringing the previously unacknowledged need that is holding you back into compassionate awareness is the first step to experience the possibility of moving forward towards any change. Harmonizing deep, conflicting need strategies like these in your life can make a really meaningful difference in your life. In our experiences, chronic troubles with relationships, careers, parenting, and self-care all find their inspiration in unconscious core feelings and needs and associated beliefs.
So working in the present means we engage and empathetically hold presence for whatever is organically emerging in our experience during the session. You may have a particular issue you want to explore, or maybe even engage in some unsavory aspect of yourself that troubles you. You'll learn to trust the particular feelings and needs surrounding this issue that emerges in the present. You'll also learn to support others and operate from the premise that the other people's body-mind system knows what is best for them, and give them a type of support that honors their innate wisdom. Working in the present also discourages you from being preoccupied and totally identified with past memories or future projections. These past future excursions can be endless, disconnecting, and can represent a subtle way of protecting ourselves from feeling feelings and connecting to needs and beliefs that long for our compassionate awareness. The empathetic presence work will help you to get separation from these memories or projections and support you in staying present to whatever is occurring in this moment. A trust in a calm centeredness emerges, which serves as a foundation upon which to do your inquiries and to live your life. Learning this skill can open the way for ongoing, effective self-support throughout your life.
A lot of personal growth falls prey to the intellectual parts of us that keep us disconnected from deeper core needs, feelings, and beliefs. This is why people who think they have connected with their core beliefs often do not see any changes in their lives. That was my experience for a long time. Empathetic presence work was designed to support people in directly accessing these core feelings, needs, and associated beliefs, both experientially and emotionally. The overriding assumption and intention created in empathetic presence work is that such deep empathetic connections with core feelings, needs, and beliefs will create a quality of connection where you can trust that something useful will occur. Useful will be self-defined as you connect with the unique expressions of your own core feelings and needs.
Thanks, Patty. So next, I want to talk a little bit about the very basics of what an empathetic presence session would look like. First, there'll be an entry, a grounding portion of the session to help you get connected to the present moment, to your body, to each other, to your own empathetic presence, which is your place of compassionate awareness. And then throughout the session, together, we would cultivate this empathetic presence, which would continue to connect and engage with parts that emerge. You'd be guided in listening, reflecting back to the parts, what's being heard, and then questioning these parts as well. And then in closing, you'd be guided in giving gratitude to the parts which emerged and shared. And it'll be made sure that you are not strongly identified with a part and that you're in a safe emotional space before we end the session.
Thanks, Meadow. In a couple of minutes, we're going to demonstrate what a session might sound like. First, I'm going to tell you about some ways that you can begin to learn to practice empathetic presence. If you're a do-it-yourself kind of person, you DIYers, you can read the books indicated in the About section of the Empathetic Presence website. And we'll make sure that you have a link to that website in the emails that we send out after the call. We would recommend that you start first with the Nonviolent Communication by Marshall Rosenthal. Then read Jon Kabat-Zinn's Mindfulness-Based Stress Reduction Program. And then you could study Jerry Donahue's Inner Empathy book that he offers online. You might also find some local practice groups on these topics. If you're not a do-it-yourself kind of person, or you want some support to get started, we find that it is often extremely helpful to begin your empathetic presence practice with the guidance of an experienced supportive listener. Meadow and I offer individual sessions in person, over the phone, and via Skype. Later this year, we will also offer workshops to aid in learning this practice.
One more piece of information before the mini session is that we are currently offering a special session rate. The amount we request for our work is the amount we estimate will make our work sustainable. That's usually $65 for one 60-minute session. We're offering a nearly 50% discount. That's three 60-minute sessions for a total of $100 if you sign up and pay by this Saturday, March 22nd at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. That's $195 of value for only $100. We also offer a money-back guarantee since our intention is to support people who are an excellent fit for this work. So if you're not satisfied with your empathetic presence session for any reason, we'll refund your money for that session. Now, let's move to that mini session so you can hear empathetic presence in action.
Yes. So we haven't prepared anything about this session other than choosing the roles. I'm going to be the speaker and Meadow will be the supportive listener. Please keep in mind that due to time limitations of this call, we're only giving you a small taste of what a session is like, and therefore there most likely won't be any aha moments in this demonstration. Such as we described having for ourselves earlier in the call that we've experienced when we've had longer, deeper personal sessions. And we're going to keep this mini session to about 10 to 15 minutes, and Meadow's going to keep the time, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, so first, Patty, I'm wondering how many minutes signal you'd like before the session ends.
Thanks. Since it's short session, let's go with 2 minutes.
All right. Got it. And do you already have a sense of a part you want to work with?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Do you want to name that now?
The anxiety part.
Oh, anxiety part. All right. Thank you. Okay, Patty. So next I want you to gently close your eyes and take a couple deep breaths. And then on the exhalations, I just invite you to think about relaxing your body. Really fully fill your lungs. And then a full exhale, relaxing your belly, relaxing your shoulders, relaxing your face. Turn your breath to normal and bring your attention to it. Just gently observe what your breath feels like. Is it deep? Is it shallow? Fast? Slow? Are parts of your body contracting? What parts of your body are expanding? And as you notice it, just try to do so without any judgment. Just simply notice what is. So, Patty, I want you to imagine you're at a playground with a child you're caring for. And that child just comes to you in tears and tells you that she's being excluded from the play of the other children at the playground. Now, rather than trying to fix her situation by making suggestions as to why they may not want to play with her or suggestions as to what she should do to get to play with the other children, I want you instead just to imagine holding her hands, looking into her eyes, just simply telling her that you see she's crying and that you want to hear more about what happened and what's going on for her, how she's feeling. And then imagine after a few minutes of your listening and seeking understanding without judgment, she dries her eyes and goes off again to play, knowing she's cared about, knowing she's been heard and understood. And just as we can welcome a sad child who needs attention, who wants understanding, we can welcome the parts in ourselves that need attention and want understanding. So let's allow our empathetic presence to emerge by reminding ourselves that there's nothing we have to do. There's nowhere we need to go. There is nothing we have to understand here. There's nothing we need to know or figure out or fix. We can simply be compassionately present and connect to the part you want to work with, the anxiety part, and everything else that emerges in your experience. So, Patty, from the state of presence, I want you to recreate the scene in which this part was activated as though you were watching a movie of the part in action. I want you to begin to connect with a specific time and context when this part was activated. Take a moment to feel into this part. And then whenever it feels right to do so, I invite you to welcome this anxiety part in and ask what it's feeling or what judgments are activated in that time and context, and then to speak for this part.
So there's a storyteller part that's coming up first that says it wants to explain this experience with the anxiety part. So welcome, storyteller part. I hear that you want to create some understanding here for those who are listening. The storyteller part says, so this morning when we woke up and realized that today was Wednesday, the day of this conference call, very quickly self went from feeling sleepy and relaxed to feeling really anxious. Thank you, storyteller part, for letting everyone know what happened this morning.
Do you want to try to connect with that anxiety part now, Patty?
the storyteller part has one more thing it wants to say.
Okay.
it wants to clarify for the listeners that sometimes when people are new at connecting with empathetic presence, that the listener helps to welcome the part and give reflective listening back to the speaker for that part. Because Patty has had quite a bit of practice with empathetic presence, sometimes she remembers to do that for herself. Thanks, Dory.
Right, so shall I model then what usually happens is that
sure.
Hearing this part saying it's reminding people that since Patty's been doing this work for a while, she is reflecting back to the part. And oftentimes when a person is new at this work, that the listener or the supportive listener actually does some of that and encourages the speaker to remember to do that. Is that it?
Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm feeling connection with the anxiety part. And I can tell because I feel tension in my belly and my shoulders.
Is it okay for that part to be here, Patty?
Yes. So the anxiety part is feeling kind of two layers of anxiety. One is the anxiety about this, our first teleconference call. And another level of anxiety about speaking about anxiety.
You want to reflect on that?
So welcome the anxiety part. I hear that you're feeling anxiety, remembering this morning and being on this call, and then also feeling anxiety, speaking about feeling anxious. Is that right? Yep. This part is saying that it believes that people who do teleconferences and offer services to help people are supposed, I can see it kind of making quotes, supposed to be calm and professional and not let their anxiety show if they feel it. There's another part coming in. This is a judging part. It has its hands on its hips, and it's saying something like, let me just listen to it for a minute. And this judging part is saying, yeah, and you're supposed to know a lot about this, and so you should be really confident, or at least pretend that you're really confident. So, welcome, judgment part, that believes that because I'm facilitating a conference call, I should be confident, or at least act confident.
You want to check in with this judgment part and see if it's willing to step back for a little bit so we can give some more attention to that anxiety part?
Um, The judgment part is wagging its finger. I need to just listen for one more minute. The judgment part is wagging its finger and saying, and you, anxiety part, you have no business being here right now. This isn't your time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's brushing its hands and saying, okay, that's all I needed to say. And it's like motioning to the anxiety part.
You want to reflect it back?
Okay, you go ahead. So thank you, judging part, for sharing your belief that anxiety has no place here on this call. There's another part coming in. I'm not sure what to call this other part. It's kind of a compassionate part, but it's not a feeling of compassion. It's more of an intellectually compassionate part.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, you want to welcome that in?
Yeah. Welcome, intellectually compassionate part. It's kind of sticking out for the anxiety part. And it's saying, we are here to model being really authentic. And anxiety is a feeling that many, many people feel. And so part of being authentic is sharing this feeling of anxiety. I'm just listening to see if there's more.
I'm just seeing that we're 2 minutes before the end.
Okay. So thank you, intellectually compassionate part, for reminding us that by being authentic and real and present about our feelings, that we make it okay for others to do so. It's stepping aside for a connection with anxiety part. So physically, there's still the presence of the anxiety part, but the physical experience now in connecting with it is different. The body is relaxed, and the anxiety part has a much softer energy. So I just need to listen to it really quickly. The anxiety part is kind of like laid back, lounging in a recliner now, and it heard that intellectually compassionate part and feels relief and acceptance from that part. The anxiety part is saying, yeah, that's it. It's everyone feels this, and it's okay. And it just needed to be welcomed and acknowledged. And that doesn't mean that the anxiety has gone away, that I still feel kind of nervous. But it's better now, and it's going to be okay.
You want to take a minute and thank the parts that have come in, Patty?
I want to share just kind of this experience of giving the anxiety part a hug, and it feeling it relaxed and happy to exit. My parts are often like in this round room, and so it's gone off. It feels okay. Thank you, anxiety part. Thank you, intellectually compassionate part, for your reminders. Thank you.
No, the judgment part.
Okay. Thank you, judgment part, for explaining anxiety to us. Oh, storyteller part, thank you for coming to explain so that everyone who's listening can understand. Was there anything else?
Yeah, there was another part that kind of wanted to explain to people listening about you having had experience and kind of like the process around reflection, and that normally the listener does a lot more of the prompting for that sort of thing.
Yeah, and when I was speaking, I thought it was the storyteller part, but it's actually, it's kind of like that clipboard part that's in me that's kind of like paying attention to everything and making sure it's all running smoothly, I'm realizing now. So thank you, clipboard part. And thank you, Meadow. I can feel a difference in my body right this minute.
You're so welcome.
Being more relaxed.
And thank you for letting me be part of your journey.
So, coming back into this moment, keep in mind that that was a very short session, and that the point of it was to demonstrate the format of a session for you more than going into deep parts and more than expecting any inner healing, although I'm pleasantly surprised that there was a sense of relief for anxiety part. Before we move into answering your questions, we want to let you know that after the call, we will send you a recording of the call, probably tomorrow, along with a reminder of our introductory package of 360-minute sessions for only $100, as long as you sign up and pay by this coming Saturday at 11 Eastern Time. That's almost a 50% discount. We do believe that it takes at least 3 sessions to get a feel for the work and to get comfortable with the process. All you have to do to take advantage of this offer is to send an email to info@empatheticpresence.com or reply to any of the reminder emails that we'll send you after the call. And also remember that if you're not satisfied with your empathetic presence session for any reason, we will refund your money for that session. So now we want to remind you that we're recording this call for use in introducing others to the practice of empathetic presence, and we understand that you might want to use only your first name or a pseudonym during this Q&A period if you desire anonymity. If you have a question for us, and we hope you do, we still have time. We have at least another half an hour if you'd like to use that. So if you have a question for us, please press the *6 key to unmute your phone and then ask us your question. So, okay, we're ready. Who has the first question for us? All right, maybe we have some shy parts coming up for people. So one question that we get sometimes is, what types of people flourish and benefit from empathetic presence work? And so we've noticed that the people who seem to thrive doing empathetic presence work are people who have been on a spiritual path, have meditation experience, or have already done a bit of personal growth work. This is not crisis-oriented work. Also, folks who already work as counselors, therapists, and other forms of supportive listening will likely experience this, that this work allows them to make a different quality of contribution to support their clients. So I'm wondering, if with that icebreaker, if there's a question that we can answer for you.
Hi, this is Jennifer. I have a question.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, thank you for your presentation. I appreciate the healing and the work that you've already done to get there. One of the things I thought, based on the email I got, I was going to maybe get, and I'm curious if you can address it, is I thought maybe you could do it for yourself. Is there a way to lead this process, and not that I would discourage anybody from using you as healing presences, but is there a way to self-coach yourself through something like this? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, somewhere I'm feeling anxiety, you know, Patty, you demonstrated a lot of identifying your own parts and talking to them, acknowledging them, but is that a process that you could do on your own, a person could do on their own? Have you tried that? How does that work?
Well, I'm not sure at what point you came into the call, and we know that some people weren't in at the very beginning. Meadow and I got ourselves to this place of having this practice of empathetic presence through a number of paths, nonviolent communication, mindfulness-based stress reduction for me, and Meadow had a mindfulness practice she had. And then we also, together, we took a 9-month course with Jerry Donahue to learn inner empathy. And then through the practice of continuing the work and synthesizing these things that we had done together, that led us to create what we're calling empathetic presence. So yes, you could take the same steps that we've taken that might lead you to a similar result, and we've listed some of the resources, I think our most important resources, on the About page on empatheticpresence.com.
Oh, Patty, I'd like to interrupt for a second. I think maybe I didn't articulate the question better. No, I did get to hear your experience. I didn't mean to try to replicate it in terms of my growth path. I meant as a tool. Like if you're in the line at the grocery and somebody does something rude to you or this or that or cuts you off in traffic in a certain way and the anxiety builds, are there tool? Is this like a something that a student can take, a student of empathetic presence can take with them and self, almost like self-soothe or something, or have you, does that make sense?
Yeah, Jennifer, this is Meadow. It definitely makes sense. I felt after initially learning it, I initially took a course of inner empathy that was 8 weeks, and then, and that's kind of the basis of this work. It gave us the bare bone structure for it. Mm-hmm. And so like, and which is basically opening to your own place of empathetic presence, and then welcoming in whatever comes up. So like if you are in a situation in the grocery line, somebody cuts in front of you, I could say, oh, you know, okay, well, welcome part that's feeling a little pissed off. What's going on? And like from that place, it'd be like, wow, this jerk just walked in front of me. Yeah, and then you can like reflect, yeah, I get that you're upset because this guy just walked right in front of you. Yeah, and then further listen to like, what is it that you're needing right now? Well, I really want to get through the line. I'm tired. I want to go home. You know, having that in-the-moment conversation has been extremely helpful for me. I think that the skill of it has developed over time in that it's come more natural to me. I think learning the tools of doing that and then practicing with others, like from my initial course that I took, I teamed up with other people and we gave each other sessions. So it's like there's kind of like some hand-holding that can happen at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And then for like now I have a morning practice where I get up and I immediately do like journal writing and I talk to whatever parts emerge. And then if things come up during the day, I found incredibly useful to, like, whatever just comes up that's triggering for me, or if I feel all of a sudden sad, or if I have a pain in my head, you know, it's very much a practice that works on a daily life without having somebody having to be on the other side, although I find that's incredibly useful as well, and still have sessions with other people.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's helpful. Yeah, yes, thank you.
Yeah, okay. And I wanted to just add to that that also you witnessed a mini session that we did. As Meadow and I work with clients, we go through this process with them each time, and part of experiencing those sessions is also learning the tool for yourself along the way. So my vision anyway is that, you know, any supportive listening that we do is for whatever time that it works for each of us, but there might be a time where the person who's being supported has enough of a sense of the process and the tools that they're able to do that for themselves.
And that's our hope, really.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you both.
You're welcome. Thank you for the question. Are there other questions?
We give about
go ahead.
30 more. How about we give 30 more seconds for people to think to see if there's any more questions, anything they have to ask.
Okay, and then we have a few things to say before we wrap up.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think while you're all thinking, I'll just remind you that you have until Saturday to get 50% off our usual rates. Look for the email with the recording of this call and details about signing up. We want to thank you for using some of your precious lifetime for this Introduction to Empathetic Presence, where we offer supportive listening to cultivate self-compassion that invites your inner healing.
So for those of you with internet access, you can find us on the web at empatheticpresence.com. or through our Facebook page of the same name. We're still in the process of developing the copy on the website, and we hope that even in its current state, it will still give you enough information to get you started on your empathetic presence journey. We look forward to developing that more over time. We wish you effortless well-being and inner healing, and thanks again for joining us. Good night.
Good night, everyone.